Starting it off, if you are on this webinar, it means you're interested in the Fulbright International Education Administrator program, and more specifically, the program to Germany. Throughout this presentation, we will often refer to this program as the IEA. Just so you know, it is for the International Education Administrators. My name is Sarah Causer. I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist with IIE, and I'm joined by a tremendous panel of ladies today. First and foremost, I would like to introduce Lauren Smith, who also works with me at IIE. Lauren, would you like to say hello?
Hi, everybody. I work at IIE, and I am sort of the contact on the IIE side for the Germany IEA program.
Perfect. And we're also really thrilled to be joined by Carolyn Weingart, who is calling in from Germany today, so it's a little bit late over there. But Carolyn, would you like to say hi?
Yes, hello, my name is Caroline. I am the one responsible at Fulbright Germany for organizing the German side of the seminar, so all the logistics on the German side and setting up the program for you, and I'm really forward looking to this tonight's webinar. Tonight it is for me, it's actually 8 o'clock, it's dark in Germany right now, and looking forward to an interesting webinar, and thanks to Sarah and Lauren for having me today here.
It's a pleasure to have you, and for anyone who, again, is in attendance, please, if you have specific questions that you want answered by Caroline, please submit them, because this is a real treat for us to have her on this call. And then last but certainly not least, we are joined by Renee Welsh, who was a Germany IEA participant. Renee, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, all. My name is Renee Welch. I'm the director of the Center for Career Readiness at the University of Northern Colorado and was a participant in the Fulbright IEA program in Germany just over a year ago. So I look forward to speaking with you all. I remember what it was like to chime in for the webinar to learn about the program before I applied. So I look forward to connecting with you all today.
Wonderful. It's so good to have you on here again, Renee. So thank you for joining. Before we dive into this session, I just want to let everyone know the session is being recorded, and we will share the slides and the recording usually about 3 to 5 days after the webinar takes place, but we will make sure to send that out as soon as it is archived. So without further ado, I will quickly dive in. A little bit of history on Fulbright. As you can see on this screen, you can see our mission statement is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world. The program itself was established in 1946 by Congress, and it is still the government's flagship international educational and cultural exchange program. Through the scholar, the full Fulbright program, we do work in partnerships with 160 countries worldwide. When it gets to the scholar side of things for faculty and administrators, that number drops down to about 130 countries. And then when we look at it through this lens of these IEAs, we actually work in partnership with 7 countries that do put on these similar administrator opportunities. We're really happy to have you here to learn more about the IEA specifically, but if you do have questions about other scholar opportunities, do let us know, and we'd be happy to get you plugged in there. The program itself is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State with funding provided by the U.S. government, and it is administered by the Institute of International Education. As you can see, we have a plethora of people on this call representing many sides of the program, so we're happy to address any questions you do have. Regarding diversity and inclusion, Fulbright really does strive to ensure that the program is reflecting the best and brightest that the United States has to offer in sending abroad our citizens to the rest of the world and vice versa. So it's very important for us to always showcase, first and foremost, our diversity and inclusion statement and letting people know that the opportunities are open to all people, and we want to make sure everyone is represented within this great program. If you wish to see the full diversity statement, it is online, and we encourage you to take a look at that as well. Diving specifically into the IEA, as you can see on the screen, the IEAs, or the CCAS seminar in the case of Russia, takes place in 7 different countries. For this current cycle that we're recruiting for the 21-22 cycle, it's actually 5 countries, just for your knowledge. The 2 countries that we're still recruiting for that have upcoming deadlines of February 1st are both France and Germany. So you're tuned into the right webinar if you're interested in Germany. But as you can see on the screen, each country is looking for a very unique profile. I will discuss what Germany is looking for. Actually, Lauren will discuss in just a moment exactly what Germany is looking for. But if you are interested in any other countries, please note that no two countries are similar. They're all looking for a little bit nuanced and focused from their applicants. The Fulbright seminars are intended across the board to have a very broad personal and professional impact on grantees. And from this experience, your home campuses will also benefit from your increased knowledge of these host countries' higher education systems. This should aid in the development of programs on your campus, as well as international student advising and a broader global collaboration. Additionally, as a grantee, you will be able to broaden your network with possible partnerships and cooperations through the other Fulbright IEA grantees that you'd be traveling with. It is very important for you to think as an applicant about your application in relation to your university. It's not just a personal application, but more broadly one that aims to increase institutional internationalization. So you'll want to make sure that you're really thinking it from both lens points. And I know Renee will touch on this a little bit later about her experience applying. Moving on, in terms of eligibility, as you can see, the IEAs are one of the awards that do not require a PhD or terminal degree to apply. What is required is you must be a U.S. citizen. So do keep that in mind in order to be eligible for these programs. As you saw on the last screen, appropriate professional experience and accomplishments vary depending on which country you're applying to, and then there could be additional awards requirements by specific countries or awards. So it's very important that what we tell you today and what is within the catalog of awards, that you make sure that you check all those boxes as well. The last bullet point that you see listed here is talking about policies on previous Fulbright grants. There is a two-year waiting period between grants, but you can have more than one Fulbright Scholar Award in your lifetime. One other thing that I like to mention at this point about eligibility is for some of the programs, the directors of English language programs and instructors of those programs are not eligible to apply, and those really relate to the Japan and Korean awards. But in case we have anyone on this call that is just trying to get more information, we do like to point that out at this time. So with that, I'm actually going to pass the reins over to Lauren to really dive into what Germany in particular is looking for. Lauren?
Hi, yeah, great. So thank you so much for joining. And again, so I just want to jump off from what Sarah says. And then Caroline will talk a little bit more about this, but the Germany IEA program has two distinct parts. So during the first days in Berlin, and this might change, Caroline can jump in. Participants are provided with an overview of Germany, and then during the second part of the program, the participants are in smaller groups and travel to other areas within Germany. And as we mentioned earlier, the IEA program to Germany has a broader availability to applicants. This program is open to full-time administrators, and I want to note that if you are a professor seeking, you know, research or teaching, this is not the program for you. This is for administrators and applicants and participants who have a significant amount of administrative responsibility. So we want there to be significant involvement in one of the following areas. So that would be international exchanges, which is, you know, student or faculty exchanges, foreign student admissions, study abroad programs, international education exchange services, also career services, and alumni affairs, and also development and fundraising. So those are sort of the four main areas that we're looking for applicants from. So again, if you are, you know, a full-time professor, this might not be the right program. Preference is given to applicants with 3 years of administrative experience and some supervisory responsibility, and you should have been at your current institution for about a year. Applicants should not have extended professional visits to Germany in the past 10 years. And I do want to note that a dual U.S.-German citizen is not eligible for this award, unfortunately. So if that's you, there's really no exceptions to this rule. I don't know if there's anything to add. Sarah, do you have anything you want to add there?
I do not, but if Caroline, if you want to add anything else about exactly what Germany is looking for, we welcome you to highlight that now.
Actually, Lauren pretty much included it all. The only thing I did want to mention that you should also, during the program participation, still be affiliated with a U.S. higher education institution. That would be one thing. So, I mean, we know that sometimes shifts in careers and that, you know, might change institution, but it is important that you're still at a U.S. institution affiliated while you're participating in the program. Because, I mean, a lot of things can change between February and November when the program actually takes place, but everything else is included here in what Lauren gave in the overview.
And I do see a quick question, and I don't know if you're going to save these for the end, but this one relates to this topic. Someone who has a hybrid role with admin and teaching responsibilities, we've definitely seen that in applicants before, but I will say when you're applying to really focus on that administrative responsibility. So this is really speaking to that admin side, but I would kind of evaluate what the balance is between your admin and teaching responsibilities. But you would probably be eligible, but we would have to probably look at your CV just to be sure so you can contact us. But generally, like, that's okay. Okay. If we're ready for the next slide, I'll let Carolyn take over.
Carolyn, it's all you.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, and thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. I just wanted to give a quick overview of what is expecting you when you're going to participate in the IEA Germany seminar. But, I mean, obviously, Renee will be then the one who can give you deeper insights as she was a participant. I'm there for you on the administrative side, organizing and planning and everything around logistics. Lauren already mentioned that the program is a bit set in two parts. In Berlin, where the program starts, you're going to have an introduction to the higher education system in Germany and also its recent developments. You're going to meet a university and University of Applied Sciences administrators. You're going to meet speakers from organizations, institutions, ministries. So we also tailor with the program to the needs of the participants. We will send out questionnaires beforehand as such. But one of the big highlights, and I hope Renee is also going to mention a bit about that, is the opportunity to work together and network with alumni of a program which is similar to the U.S. Administrators Program, which was for German administrators to the U.S. Who are alumni of our program and who are going to be there for a three-day workshop and whom you're going to meet then during your stay in Berlin and have peer-to-peer workshops. There's a great network. I know the group from last year, for example, is still very much in contact. I think, Renee also will mention a little bit about that. And so this is really a great opportunity that we introduced about would be the third time next year in 2018, and it was so successful that we continued that concept because it simply enables you to have the same amount, same number of participants as the U.S. administrative seminars of 15, so you have a network of 15 German administrators from similar fields to yours, so this is a great plus. In the second week, there's smaller groups then of U.S. administrators traveling to different higher education institutions around Germany to get to know them more in depth before at the end of the seminar we meet again in a different location in Germany, which was last year, for example, Karlsruhe, which is right at the French border, to explore then the German higher education system within the parameters of the European Union, and also then, and you can see that on the picture here of the slide, accumulated at the end of the seminar by visit to the European Parliament, which was very nice. So you see that German higher education is not just about Germany, but also has a broader European perspective, and that's what we then try to find out at the end of the seminar. If you have any questions regarding the agenda, the program, feel free to ask that now in the next and I think Renee will talk about her experience and what she found about the program. I'm really glad to see her again tonight. Again, as I said, I think also through the really tough last year that everybody of us working in international education faced, I understood we're still in contact with the alumni from our programs. I understood that there was a really closely tied network between the chairman and U.S. participants from last year, which also helped them through these times and exchange on ideas and best practices, and we really, really appreciate that, and I think that's the big value of that seminar as well. That's it from me for the moment, but please feel free, if you have any questions, to address them to Paul and Sarah, and I'll pass them on to me, and yeah, I'm looking forward to your applications. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. This is great. I know we're going to have some good questions for you once we get to the Q&A portion. Before we get there, we just want to talk a little bit more about selecting the right award. As you saw earlier, there are 7 different countries. And what you may, I think there's a few people on this call that have found out through questions that they're like, oh, I might not be eligible for this award, but it doesn't mean you're not eligible for all of the IEAs. So what is really important for how to determine which IEA award and country to apply for, you really should take a look at your institution and think about the questions that are listed on the screen. What has your campus been doing and how have they been trying to internationalize themselves? Does the campus or institution, university, have any plans to increase cooperation with one of these particular countries? Because that may lead you towards a certain country. Other questions you would be asking yourself are about your institution's goals. Are there goals to increase the number of students from any country or increase the number of study abroad exchanges for a particular country? Have you started to see trends? In the case of India, are you trying to go to more non-traditional locations? Those are the types of questions you want to ask yourself for what makes sense for your institution. The next question that you would ask yourself is about your significant professional experience and whether or not you have that in one of these countries. In some cases, you might have too much experience in a certain country that you'd be better suited for applying to a different country and opening up those doors. And that's something that our team can help you with if you have questions today or a couple weeks from now about whether or not you think you're eligible. You are more than welcome to submit your CV or resume to us, and we can take a look at that and see whether or not we think that you'd be eligible and competitive for this particular award, and we encourage you to do so. And then the last item you'd be asking yourself is, what is your professional profile? As Lauren went into, the Germany IEA has a very broad eligibility and profile that they have listed compared to some of the other IEAs. So for this, you just want to make sure that your background and profile is really represented within this program of what Lauren did dive into. And all of that information is also listed on the Catalog of Awards, and we will link you to that as soon as this webinar is archived. We'll make sure you get access to that link. Another thing, as I said earlier, this is being recorded. You will get the PowerPoint slides, so you'll be able to click these documents. We have many resources on our website. It might be overwhelming at times, but we want to make sure that you are given everything you need to succeed in terms of applying and applying competitively. So our website is the best place for you to go. And then after that, it is the Catalog of Awards, which is where you will see what every country or award is looking for in specifically in order to make sure that your application is successful. Our application is entirely online. We have guidelines that walk you through it. We also have a walkthrough webinar that is recorded for the IEA specifically. We want to make sure you don't run into any issues as you are navigating that online application. You're already listening to a webinar now, which is great. The Fulbright Scholar blog talks about it's very good, especially for applicants who are applying for research and teaching opportunities if they want to take their families. But we do have a blog, I think, from that has gone to every single one of our IEA countries. So if you want to hear more about their experiences, we welcome you to read that there. And then lastly, we have something called My Fulbright, and that's where you will register your interest in the program. So maybe you don't plan on applying this year, but you want to apply in a future year. Register your interest, state, what program you're interested in, what countries you would like to go to, and then we can make sure that every year as competitions open and close, you will be getting those emails tailored specifically for your interest. In terms of the application components, as I mentioned earlier, the application is entirely online. You'll start an application, register, you know, your name, you'll put in the information that you're interested in the IEAs, which country you're applying for, you'll fill out your biographical data, and then there are a few documents that you will complete online and upload. The first one is the seminar details, which I will go into depth in just a moment, I promise. But with those seminar details, there in years past, it used to be a statement of intent that was 3 to 5 pages. We have shifted away from that. It is now 5 open-ended questions. Everything that you used to address in that statement of intent is still there, but we've broken it up to give you room to really address what we are specifically looking for. So when the review committees take a look at your application, you're addressing exactly what they want you to address. I actually think it is in your favor. It makes your life easier, in my opinion, but I'd be curious to see how you all feel about it because that is a new change that we did this year, so do let me know. The next piece you will upload is your CV or your resume. And you have up to 6 pages for that, and that's the document that you'll upload. We, again, have leading questions online or specifics about formatting that CV or resume. So, again, take a look at the website for specific details on font size, margins, things like that. The next piece is the institutional statement. This is 1 to 2 pages for you to really lay out what your institution is looking for. Facts about your institution, and with this it could be general information, what type of institution, is it a community college, is it a minority serving institution, what are the total enrollment numbers, the numbers of degrees offered, other things that we ask that you include are the number of international students on your campus and where they're coming from regionally. You can also address study abroad opportunities available on your campus or any partnerships that currently exist or that you hope to continue to develop, especially as they pertain to the country you're flying to, so in this case, to Germany. And then lastly, we ask that you address any future goals or plans for internationalizing the campus. The next piece are your letters of reference. This is, again, another place where we've made some changes from last year. For your letters of reference, you now register 2 instead of 3. So, again, on our website, we do have questions for them to address and who they should come from, but just a little bit of insight for you. These recommenders are really evaluating your professional qualifications, the potential for institutional impact, and your personal qualifications and qualities. So for who we ask to be your letter writers, one letter must come from your current supervisor or someone you report to at your institution. They should really be familiar with your administrative skills and leadership success, while the other letter can come from any colleague who can speak to your personal attributes and interests within international education. They can either be from your current institution or another institution. There are also guidelines for who cannot serve as a letter writer. In those cases, it is anyone from the Department of State, Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, or representatives from the U.S. Embassy or posts or Fulbright commissions in that country's application. So just keep that in mind. What you will do in the system is you will actually register their details, their name, their email. The system will automatically send them an email that they can utilize to log in and upload their letters of recommendation. It's up to you whether or not you waive access to seeing those, but they will upload it themselves. You will not do this. Another thing I do like to highlight here is once you have decided that you want to apply, I highly recommend that you go to that page first. Put their details in so your letter writers have a lot of time to do their portion, that you're not putting them in a bind. It's really good to do that. You can send reminders. But the other thing I like to say is you can submit before your letter writers submit. They still have access to the portal. You can still track when they submit. Or you can submit after they submit. But keep in mind, everything should be submitted by the deadline of February 1st, 2021. As I promised, I was going to dive into the seminar details a little bit more. So in lieu, again, of that statement of intent, you're asked to respond to the following questions in the application. The first question is about your professional biography. It's where you're going to highlight your educational background, professional and administrative experiences, your most significant professional accomplishments, any key responsibilities in your current position. You may also include information about your professional affiliations and memberships in this portion. If there's relevant community service, publications, honors and awards, anything that is really relevant to your professional biography. You can see all the character limits are listed here. My pro tip is develop these in Word so you can track the character limit and then just copy and paste them in the system, because what you want to avoid is the system timing out as you're writing them. But that's just my personal pro tip for you. The next topic that you'll address is country selection and professional relevance. Why are you applying for the IE seminar to this particular country? We're going to ask you to describe your professional responsibilities as they relate to the grant, including any achievements in the development of international initiatives or systems on your campus. Other things you will address are including what expertise that you can share with your peers in the host country, and we ask that you do describe your experience with this country, including if you've visited this country previously, if you've had any communications or interactions with the country, such as setting up partnerships, cultural engagement, sending and receiving students. That's really what we're looking within that country selection piece. The next one for outcomes and impact is we want you to really think about the participation in this seminar and how it would contribute to the international education goals of your institution. So again, it is a personal opportunity for you, but we want you to think of it broadly as it relates to your institution. What are your anticipated impact that the participation would have on your institution, on the wider community? We ask that you consider the outcomes with the potential to be broad and sustainable. And Renee can talk a little bit more about what she has seen with that outcomes and impact on her own grant and participation. Other things to address is how you want to share what you've learned with your home institution and with others. When we talk about others, it could be professional organizations that you're a part of, conferences that you go to, really sharing the work that you did with Fulbright and encouraging others to also apply. Also, what is the anticipated impact that the participation would have on your own professional development and your career? So that's really what we're looking for. Again, all of this information is listed on the website, so if you're taking notes down, you're welcome to, but you can also find it online. The next one is your personal qualities. It's where you'll describe your ability to be adaptable, culturally sensitive, collegial, as well as know that you are serving as a cultural ambassador for the United States. So just keep that in mind. And then this last topic, additional information, you have up to 500 characters. If there's anything else that you think the review panel should know that is pertinent, you can leave it blank. You are not required to fill it out, but it is just there for you to address anything that you feel doesn't fit in those first four categories. I believe this is the last thought I have before we let Renee take it away and talk about her experience. But you can see this timeline on our website as well. The application deadline is February 1st of 2021. It feels far off, but the holidays are almost in full force right now. So I encourage you to start early and think ahead. We will send reminders throughout the month of January about the upcoming deadline. So register in the system so you get all of our reminders. In April, that is when we will, March, April is when we will actually have our review panel. And you will be notified at that point whether or not your application was recommended or not recommended for further review. If it was recommended, your application then goes into Germany for final review and selection. And so in May, you will be notified whether or not you are a finalist. And then the grant itself will take place in November of 2021. So again, feels far away, but I promise it will be here before you know it. And with that, it is my pleasure to let Renee take it away.
Hi, everyone. I'm just like flooded by memories as I'm listening to everyone and getting to connect with Carolyn. I feel very fortunate to be able to share my experience with you all. We can go to the next slide. So like I said earlier, my name is Renee Welch. I'm the director of the Center for Career Readiness at the University of Northern Colorado. And that part felt somewhat unique in that my background was in career services, and I didn't have the same type of experience as some of my colleagues might have had in international education prior to applying for the Fulbright IEA seminar. As such, I needed to do a little bit more homework in regards to my home institution and the international efforts that had been going on, that some of which were connected to my work in career services and some of which were not. So I would recommend folks start preparing to write as soon as you can following the webinar, and that might mean scheduling meetings and times to connect with people who are at your institution, who are pursuing initiatives related to international education, career, even things outside of your institution, to really help you get an idea about how you're going to aim your materials and specifically respond to the seminar details. When I applied for the program, we had to write a personal statement, but with it kind of being focused for you all, I think that will help you know how, really be thoughtful about how do you want to respond to those prompts. So just make sure you're giving yourself time and thoughtfully prepare your materials. You've heard folks mention this before, but you want to express how this experience is going to impact not only yourself, but your institution and your community. So the ability, I think, to be able to talk about what personally interests you or motivates you in applying for this experience, specifically in Germany, but then also zoom out from your own worldview perspective to consider how might this be an important thing for your institution to have you participate in this experience in Germany. I found IIE does a really good job on like webinars like this and on the website of helping you understand how your materials are going to be evaluated. So make sure that you're spending time on IIE's website and reading all the ways in which your materials will be evaluated, and try to speak to everything that is asked of you. And then I've mentioned this a little bit earlier, but get feedback from colleagues outside of your functional area. I ended up meeting on a frequent basis with multiple staff members that worked in our Center for International Education, learned more about some of our academic programs that I had known about, but just gained a more thorough understanding of programs outside of my unit at my home institution, as well as initiatives that were happening in the state of Colorado. And then once I drafted my materials, I gave them to all of these colleagues of mine on campus that I was connecting with, and was able to receive their feedback and incorporate feedback prior to submitting my materials. So get feedback from people who are around you. And give your references plenty of time. I had my supervisor prefers to operate at the last minute, so I think he was able to submit my letter of recommendation maybe a day before the deadline, but luckily I had given him enough time to know that as the deadline approached, I would be bugging him to make sure that everything happened on time. Once you submit your materials, you will be in for a fair amount of waiting, and just be as patient as you can be. There is a thorough process behind the scenes of the way in which your materials are vetted by folks in and outside of the U.S. that know that people are really spending time and reviewing the materials that you have put forward. So just hang tight and be patient. I remember just even finding out, I think I found out in April that my materials were going to be considered as a finalist, and the waiting ended up being worth it. And know that if you do not get selected, please apply again. I traveled with colleagues a year ago who it was their third or fourth time submitting an application specifically for the IEA seminar in Germany, and it was on their third or fourth try that their application materials were accepted. So consider applying for more than one time or as many times as it might take you in order to be able to realize the experience and make it happen. And then once you're selected as a participant, you want to kind of be ready to start planning. The process of moving from notification of seminar to needing to secure logistics for myself, and I also chose for my family, was able to join me in Germany following the experience, my husband and two kiddos. So we had been talking as a family about if this were to happen, would we all be traveling, and then how are we going to secure those logistics? So those logistics will need to be taken care of, and you'll want to be able to move pretty quickly once you know you're going to be an attendee. If you all could do then take me to the next slide, please. During, or actually this next part would be before the seminar, really spend time. Carolyn and folks at the Fulbright Commission in Germany spend a great deal of time of preparing reading materials for participants to read, to have a context of the experiences that you will have while in Germany. It's important, I found it to be important and valuable for the time that I was able to invest in reading those materials. And it enabled me, I think, to be a more engaged participant and ask better questions when we were listening to speakers or on tours of different, so many different places. I'm thinking of state level, federal level, and European Union, that the more that you read the materials ahead of time, the more that you're going to be prepared to engage. Also, I think the more you'll be prepared to have some fun when you are there, and I'll get to that in a moment. And then come prepared to learn. I remember nights after learning about systems of education in which groups of U.S. and German colleagues, we'd stay up late in hotel lobbies having conversations about what we were learning, how we were reflecting on what we were learning. So just be prepared to be engaged in the learning while you're there. It makes the experience more meaningful. And then to soak up this moment to know about your German colleagues, my cohort and I happened to be in Germany during the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. We were there about a week ahead of celebrations in Berlin, and it made for very meaningful conversations with our German colleagues about their experiences growing up in Germany during the period of time in which the Berlin Wall was there. So just be prepared to soak that up, and it also makes those relationships last much longer. I'd recommend participating. I journaled the entire time I was traveling, that I'd come back to my hotel or I'd take my journal with me, and I still reference it every once in a while and sometimes send my colleagues like little snippets from my journal to remember our travels together. And consider how you'd like to use little bits of free time. That the schedule is Carolyn and Kirsten, everyone does a really good job of taking care of you and your time. And you'll have a couple free moments in which you can choose to have adventures either on your own or with a small group. So the more that you can research, you know, places that you want to go ahead of time, the more you'll be prepared to take advantage of opportunities that may exist. I have this very special moment in which in Berlin, Kirsten helped me secure tickets to go see an indie rocker at a club in Berlin on a night all by myself that I was able to go to a concert on a city where we just happened to have a free night. And that's a really cherished memory of mine. And it's because I had done some research and was prepared for if I were to have that night free, I was going to try to make that concert happen. So think about how you'd like to spend your free time. And then, like I said earlier, my family and I chose to add on time following the program in Germany and traveled throughout Germany together. And then in this picture, this is a colleague, Scott, myself, I'm in the middle, and Jana at the University of Leipzig. Jana had us to her house for an evening meal, and her family had prepared one of their special meals for us. And we stayed up super late talking and had a really wonderful exchange, and even found ourselves at one moment we had all recently finished the same book and were able to have a book club conversation and talk about, it was a book focused on higher education. We were able to talk about it from the context of a German perspective and U.S. perspective. That was a pretty special evening. If you could forward to the next slide. I think that might be it. Yeah. So find ways to share your experience. I'm now a year out from my experience in Germany and have found ways to share my experience on my own campus. I was featured as a scholar for the library created a new program to focus my experience and was able to catalog it in the University of Northern Colorado's library, as well as connected with people in the roles within the state of Colorado, able to talk with them about my experience and how I might be more engaged in workforce development opportunities. And maybe the most special part, I think, about this experience was that a cohort from the United States and a group of our colleagues from Germany maintain regular communication. So we all, the pandemic had a pretty unique way of bringing us all together to talk about a shared human experience that wasn't caused by one group of humans trying to harm another. And we have all just had a pretty unique experience in maintaining communication together, that has been very meaningful. And a group from us from the United States co-authored an article that will be in the European Association for International Education's journal. So there's ways to like talk about your experience and write about your experience for other people to learn about it. And then I'm also still figuring this out and trying to find ways as much as I can to connect my experience to my life and my my work. So I'd be happy to connect with you all further. I'm also happy to share my contact information, or you can find it on the University of Northern Colorado's website. I'll leave it there and we'll open it up for some questions.
Great. Thank you so much, Renee. And once that article is published, or the journal, please send it our way. We would love to have that and brag about y'all a little bit more.
Will do.
That's wonderful. So as Renee said, this brings us to the end of our presentation. I've got a couple questions throughout about how to contact us. It's on the screen right here. You can also register your interest online, and I'll send all that out in a follow-up email. Or if you have colleagues that you want to refer for this program or other types of programs, let us know. But we have gotten a lot of questions, and I'm going to do our best to go through as many as possible. And if you still are typing in questions, if you know you want to ask it towards Renee or Caroline, please feel free to put that in the question so we can make sure to ask it to the right person. So the first question, Caroline, I'm going to ask you to address is, would grant administration fall under this profile for Germany? Say a person helps faculty apply for national and international grants, and they also serve as the Fulbright scholar liaison. Would they be eligible for this opportunity?
Maybe that's a question that also Lauren could address, but I know, for example, in last year's program, we did have Fulbright scholarship advisors, we did have grant and fellowship advisors in our group, so this is generally eligible if you make the connection to the international exchange aspect. But yes, and sure. I mean, this is always important, I think. I mean, this goes a bit in that direction what Renee mentioned. It is important to do make the connection to international exchange, and particularly your interest in Germany. And yeah. I don't know, Lauren, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I concur with that. I think if you do have questions, you can always email us your CV or email us with your questions, and we'll be happy to help you. But yeah, I agree with what Carolyn said.
Great. Thank you both. If you were selected or made it through the final round for last year's cycle, which was canceled due to COVID, what is the likelihood you will be selected for this cycle? I can start this off, and Caroline or Lauren, if you want to chime in, I know I've seen a few COVID-related questions for last year's cycle come through. But with that, the likelihood is there, but just keep in mind that every application cycle, in order to remain competitive and to take out any other kind of outside factors, is reviewed within that cycle. So it will be reviewed through peer review again. It could be someone who was on the panel, but keep in mind, they won't hold that against you that you the program was canceled. That will not be something that would be held against you. But you are welcome to apply again. You made it to that round, so chances are you could stand a very good chance of making it to that second round again. So I encourage you to apply. But Lauren or Caroline, do you want to say anything else about this?
Yeah, there should be a section in the application, and I forget which page it's on right now, but there should be a section where you can say that you were awarded a previous grant, but that you didn't actually travel on that grant. So just, you know, be clear about that. But yeah, you will not, your application will not be looked down upon because your program was canceled.
And actually, thank you, Lauren, for saying that. You can go on, Caroline.
No, I mean, it's a bit, goes a bit in the direction what Renee said. I mean, we really have candidates who apply two or three times even. And I mean, every year, the number of applicants is different, and I mean, it always gets looked upon with a new perspective, both in the peer review and in the in-country reviews than in Germany. So really, please feel free to be discouraged, or I mean, I would really always recommend to apply again in case the application wasn't successful one time, because I mean, participant pool is different, the applicant pool is different from year to year, so I concur with what Lauren and both Lauren and Sarah said.
Great. And to Lauren's point, if you all remember those five open-ended questions, that fifth one, that is another area where you can state that you had made it through to that round, as Lauren said. But ultimately we're not selected due to COVID. That is something that you could use that open-ended question for. The next question is about the 3 years of administrative experience and whether or not it has to be in the same area. The example they gave us is they've been at their university in administration for 4 years, but only 1 year in their current role with study abroad exchanges. Caroline, I asked you to chime in, but my understanding about this is, yes, your current role needs to be tied to that, but as long as you can really make those connections with those previous roles to the international dimensions, that would be fine. Caroline, do you have anything else you want to add for this particular question?
No, I mean, I would agree with Sarah, and if you have any questions, I mean, you can also always feel free to reach out to us, so to IIE, and send your CV, for example, and they then be happy to help or discuss it, take it up with us. But, I mean, this sounds to me, I mean, if you can bridge to that previous experience to your current role, it sounds completely fine with us. But again, to have a better understanding, it's always worthwhile to reach out to IIE if there's any doubts. I don't know, Lauren, you agree? Or?
Yeah, I agree with that.
We have a couple other kind of questions about the profile and whether or not the majority of the selected applicants tend to be those working in international students and programming, or if the program is open to those in career services and alumni relations. The answer is yes, especially in the case of Germany, they are open to these other areas on campus. But again, as Caroline has said, you really just need to make that connection to that the international education kind of dimensions on your campus. And again, I open this to Lauren or Caroline if you want to add anything else.
I don't think I have anything much to add, but I will say again, just really focusing on that international connectedness in your application.
Mm-hmm. I second that. I mean, it's to make that connection, and I mean, then I mean, it's a bit like what Renee said, to make the connection from career services fundraising, and I mean, we do have every year participants from each of these groups from fundraising, alumni. I mean, if you come make across your point why you want to participate, why you want to participate specifically in the seminar in Germany, and make a good connection there to your role on campus, that sounds perfectly fine with us.
Mm-hmm. I have two questions, and Caroline, I would actually like your take on this personally. If someone was a professor emeritus or someone who is semi-retired and they're serving as an adjunct professor, would they not be eligible, but maybe they previously were a dean or director? It's my understanding that they do need to fill out that administration hat, and it needs to be a large percentage of their time. But have you made any exceptions in the past for profiles like this?
That's a very good question. I mean, the thing is, we would need to see the profile more in detail. So if you could send your CV along, for example, to and like a brief abstract to IIE, and they would pass it on to us, that would be good so we can review it in more detail. I mean, we did have faculty in the past on the program, which also held an administrative role, and then obviously were focusing in their seminar details in their statements on the administrative aspect, less on faculty, if I got the question right.
Yeah, you did. And they message in that they'll send their CV, so thank you. I see a couple questions about how many people are selected each year, as well as how many people apply. Unfortunately, due to Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board policies, we are not allowed to state or disclose application numbers year in and year out. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Lauren, correct me if I'm wrong, Germany is looking for, they will award 15, or select 15 applicants. Is that correct?
Caroline might be able to answer that better than me.
Okay, but that's, yeah. Sorry, Lauren.
Yeah, we can provide up to 15 grants.
Thank you. And that is listed on the catalog of awards. I just didn't have it at my disposal. All right, so I'm trying to get, there's so many questions. There, another great question about applying for both France and Germany in this cycle. In a cycle, it opens in February and it closes the following February. You can only choose one award to apply to, and that goes without saying for the IEAs as well as the research and teaching within that cycle period. So we're currently recruiting for 21-22, so far ahead. You can only apply for one award. So once the cycle ends on 2/1/2021, we'll launch the next round, you can apply for a different award at that time. But great question, but you can only apply for one award in a cycle. I hope that made sense. We have someone who would like us to expand a bit on the career service aspect. How do you connect this experience with your current role? Lauren or Caroline, do you want to offer some perspective, having maybe worked with some past career service applicants?
Yeah, or maybe Renee.
Yeah, I can touch a little bit on this, that what I learned is that there are parts of the German education system that are very closely connected to the model of career services and specifically some career preparation that the state of Colorado is aiming and working on implementing some similar systems in the state of Colorado. So there are direct connections that an applicant with a background in career services should be able to make to the application specifically. And that might be within your own institution and then even looking outside of yourself and the institution, that there are many connections to be made, I believe.
Yeah, and I think, too, our peer reviewers, when they're reviewing applications, at least in the U.S.-based review, are really going to look and see for that good fit. So if they can kind of see that you've done your research and that you can really draw those connections between your role and what is done in Germany and how you can, like, bring back your lessons learned to your home institution or what you can bring to Germany, that different perspective, I think that's definitely something that you need to research as you're working on your application, because that's something that's important to our reviewers.
And I mean, we value a diverse group of participants as well. And for example, when we select alumni to participate from the German group, we then do seek for an equivalent number of alumni who are from the field of career services in Germany. So to make sure that, I mean, there's some like specific workshops, for example, on the topic where you're then in smaller groups and can discuss recent developments from your field. So we do make sure as soon as we, that's what I meant earlier when we're setting out for the agenda and the program planning, that we do wait until we have the profiles of each participant to then tailor, make our program accordingly to incorporate also areas that then are interesting specifically for you. And I mean, for example, we have this unique system in Germany of corporate study programs where students are enrolled both at the Institute of Higher Education and are working at the same time, which is, I think, very interesting, for example, for somebody working in career services. So, I mean, we do consider and try to make them a program that's also, like, meeting your interests and needs.
Great. And I know we're at time. I'm going to try and quickly just address a couple more questions, and I want to be respectful of time. But if we don't answer your question, please email us at iea@iie.org, and I can connect with Renee and Caroline to make sure your questions get answered. But we had a question about whether or not a cohort was selected for this last year. Unfortunately, it was not due to COVID. We have questions about people applying that were part of that cohort and making changes to their application as it relates to COVID. We highly encourage you to do that. There's a question about, can they use the same letters of recommendation? You can ask the same letter writers to submit again, but they would need to submit again. And if they need access to their letters, they can email us and we'll make sure that they get that. We just can't give those letters to you directly. Our advice would be to really just look at your materials and adapt them, especially with any changes that have come up in the last year. I'm trying to see. And Caroline, we have one last question for you if you have just a moment. Someone has been selected and participated in the DAAD Germany Today program. Is this radically different, that program, to Fulbright? Do you have any knowledge about that program and comparing the two?
That I would have to take up and discuss with my colleague. I think it is relatively similar. I mean, it depends a bit when you did participate. So I would be grateful if you would send an email via IAE and I could take that up with my colleague and get back to you. Because as Sarah mentioned, I mean, you shouldn't have substantial experience in Germany in the last years. And I mean, I'm too little familiar of exactly how the program runs, but I think it is a little bit similar to ours in terms of participant group and the agenda of the program. So I would appreciate if you would maybe send us an email and I can take that up with my colleagues at Fulbright Germany.
Perfect. Thank you, Caroline. Yes, if you want to email me, I will get that to Caroline for you. Well, I know we went over, apologies, but I'm very grateful for everyone joining us today. Again, if you have questions, my email's on the screen. I can route you to the appropriate person. But I really want to thank Caroline for being with us so late in the evening in Germany. It's been such a pleasure to have you. And then also to Renee for really just sharing her experience on this program. We couldn't do this without either of you, so we really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, and great being here today.
Great. Well, from all of us, we hope you have a lovely December, and we look forward to receiving your applications. Email us with any questions. And again, Lauren, as well, thank you so much for being with us today, and we will hopefully hear from you all soon.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Take care. Bye.